All right. So the atomic boys are next. I'm going to be inviting my three atoms up to talk to you, but I want to introduce this session by giving you just a few slides here as a way to get us started on this afternoon's topic. So we're going to talk about the product line, obviously. We'll begin by linking back to Mark's comments from this morning in terms of what we're doing in both hardware and software as our contribution to IBM's at least $20 a share earnings in 2015. We're on a track to deliver on the respective levels of profitability required to deliver on that model. Obviously, as the software business has gotten larger, you saw a lot of the numbers from Mark, pretty significant continuing improvement in profitability, but certainly in line with the kind of profit growth that we've been experiencing now, really over the last decade. And on the hardware side, a more shallow model, but very much focused on the high-value systems model that we've been driving now for many years as we keep evolving the product line towards where we believe the real value is in the marketplace. The investments have been shifting to where the value is. We're delivering environments now to customers. We're taking much more of a solution view. It's the linkage of hardware, software, and services to deliver on that complete capability. We continue to be quite prolific in leveraging open technologies. Rod will talk to you more about that in terms of the different open initiatives that we have, including a couple just in the last few months that we've been a major promoter of in the marketplace. Our investments have been shifting. I'll show you more about that. We continue to move towards where we believe the value to be. And obviously, where we can bring together hardware, software, and services, we deliver not only a unique value proposition from a customer perspective, but it provides a lot of leverage for the IBM company. Important to note on the bottom of the chart is that for our high-end systems, Z, P, PureFlex systems, we're leveraging at least $3 of incremental value on top of those systems when we deploy them because of the amount of software they drag. And, of course, they're used for sophisticated purposes, so there's a services integration requirement. What's driving us is what's driving our clients. They're trying to do more with analytics. They're trying to become more predictive. The lowering cost of computing permits them to do that and attack an ever bigger set of problems, and you're seeing a lot of that here today. Security in all of its forms, cybersecurity. Over a year ago, we formed a security division. We've put a lot of focus on this, and we're using our big data capability to attack this challenge, and Robert LeBlanc will talk more to you about that. Optimization, customers want greater efficiency, optimized systems. Cloud is very much a part of that. It's the way many customers express their drive towards optimization. We're going to tell you more about that. Social media, the growth in interpersonal communication, the capture of tacit knowledge, the integration of people into process and analytics. Mike Roden will talk to you more about that. We live in a world with exploding sensor data and information. Smarter Planet is all about making the physical world around us smarter. That means a lot of instrumentation, a lot of data, a lot of big data, and a lot of opportunity to improve the operational characteristics of the environment around us. And, of course, mobile devices that are becoming an integral part of every application scenario, whether inside of a business or between business and consumers. So this is what's driving us, and it's where we're making our investments. On the system side, it's all about this range of systems investments. It's the ability to take our know-how in microelectronics and systems design and apply it to different classes of systems for different purposes. And even more important on the right-hand side here, this idea of a software-defined environment. In other words, leveraging compute, storage, and networking together in combination, dealing with the challenge that businesses have of getting their arms around all of this technology that they've deployed, making it more operationally efficient and effective, being able to use software as a way to leverage the underlying resources based upon service quality and the requirements for delivering whatever the application needs are. And, of course, we're marrying this with our smart cloud capability. So we're the only company that is creating an environment that's consistent, whether it's a hosted cloud, Eric will talk to you more about our smart cloud initiatives, or whether it's an on-premise enabled private cloud. And that puts us, we believe, in a unique position in the market. Across the software portfolio, we have been remixing for years. We continue to remix. It's a never-ending journey. The things that we could charge money for 10 years ago are not worth nearly as much today. We keep moving our investments towards where the market is going and where the value is. It's leveraging base capability, and then, if you will, moving the money into these key investment areas. And you're going to hear from Robert about middleware platforms, and of course Mike around our integrated industry solutions, and they'll lay out a picture of this. And we want you to think as you leave here about how we've brought the portfolio together to deliver on capabilities, not just products. So with that, let me turn it over to Rod. Adam number one.
Adam number one. Okay, thank you. So what did you think about those demos? Yeah, you know what? I'm going to share a secret with you. It takes a great hardware infrastructure for those things to work. So what I want to do, I want to leave you with 2 points as I step through this. First of all, we've been consistent and we remain committed in terms of the investments that we're making in delivering what I would describe as technology innovation that allows us to sustain our systems market leadership. So one takeaway, as I go through this, consistent and committed investments. The second point is I'll build on what Jenny described and some of the things that Steve talked about. As we talk about smarter computing and where we're going, built on these three principles. And you heard Jenny tee this up, design for big data, software-defined environment, and it's really about how do we get acceleration around innovation, leveraging the open market movement. So smarter computing is built on these three principles. Now, when you look at what we've been doing, this has actually been a very thoughtful and sort of somewhat a calculated approach in terms of the types of investments that we've been making around more in this high-value space, and then the types of acquisitions we've made, and also the types of partnerships that we continue to drive. And hopefully you saw one of the demos, which is a great example as we think about designs for big data, the Texas Memory System example that hopefully you had a chance to see. But when you start to think about the role of flash, not just packaging a different type of storage technology, but how that starts to transform the system to be prepared for this big data environment. We think this Texas Memory opportunity for us in the types of systems that we will build today and how it will position us for tomorrow. So a great solution. And the one demo is actually a half a petabyte when you think about this in a rack. 6 million output operations per second. If you populate the rack fully, 20 million operations per second, so IOPS per second. So a fascinating platform. When you connect that with some of the other things that we're doing around built-in operational analytics like EasyTier, which now allows us within the system structure to make intelligent decisions on where and how to place the data based on the patterns of the data information, that connection is some of the things that we're doing in terms of delivering systems that's built for big data. When you look at our power technologies, power today, in my opinion, is the best analytics platform, and it's the best platform for the big data environment. And as you start to look at where we're going in the future, and you'll hear from John later in terms of the types of things and the way we will be composing and constructing these systems in the future, you're going to need capabilities like power. When you think about the type of bandwidth that we will need, the type of scalability and performance that will be required, the type of memory footprint in terms of running applications in memory that's going to be required. And this is what we're delivering around our power-based technologies. Software-defined environment, similar to design for big data, we have been very focused on the types of acquisitions to support these set of capabilities. So when you think about acquisitions like platform computing that allows us a structure that deals with a clustered and a grid environment, some of the things that we're doing around our organic developments with smart cloud and some of the features that we have on our Pure systems, moving the environment more towards a software environment. And then open and collaborative, leveraging many of the open source opportunities. So when you look at things like OpenStack, how we're taking that movement and those set of capabilities and integrating it into products like Smart Cloud, we will continue to at least enable the industry to have more flexibility and choice in terms of how they might want to deploy solutions across their infrastructure. And I'll come back to Open Power because I think this is a huge opportunity moving forward as the world moves more towards big data, and we're going to be looking at opportunities to exploit our power technologies in a very pervasive way. If you look at the portfolio and some of the things that we will build on from 2012 into 2013, two components, extending the portfolio and then delivering against this point of view that we're describing as smarter computing. So this year, as you recall, last year we introduced the mainframe. This year we will be introducing the business class version of the mainframe. We just completed this month the full rollout of our Power 7 Plus product line. Last year we introduced the high-end. This year we now have entry and mid-range models. And these products, compared to the alternatives, and as an example, running analytics workloads like Cognos and SPS, you're getting 40% better performance in terms of what these systems are delivering. Pure Systems has been updated to include our Power 7 Plus technologies, and we also have some very specific additions that we've tailored for different types of partnerships, namely the MSP. So we actually have additions that we've built, solution additions for the MSPs. When you look at the things that we're doing around design for big data, this Texas Memory acquisition will be integrated across my entire storage product line. So the packaging and the engineering that we're doing to connect traditional storage with flash storage, and when you wrap that with some of the operational analytics capabilities we have like EasyTier, provides what we think a world-class tiered solution for the enterprise. Software-defined environments, taking our smart cloud capabilities that we deliver with Pure Systems and some of our other platforms and integrating OpenStack and allowing and exposing APIs so that clients can now have a very open and flexible way to deploy workloads. And then what I'm doing on Open Power, taking our power technologies and working with the industry to allow broader participation in leveraging the architecture along with the associated software stack that we will be delivering. And doing this in a way where we invite others to build innovative system solutions using our power technology. So 2013, this is sort of the things that we will be doing throughout the year. One of the other things, I've talked about this in previous meetings around how we view sort of our hardware business, because I do see this as sort of a platform, if you will, that allows us to extend in higher value spaces. You heard Steve talk about the fact that for every dollar of high-end system sales, it actually creates an opportunity in terms of total IBM revenues, $3 in terms of total IBM revenues. And our approach continues to be around integration and deep optimization, and is really about the types of integrated optimized stack solutions that we deliver, starting with semiconductors all the way up through the application and the workload. So focus on deep integration optimization, and we think that approach allows us to deliver differentiated client value. And when you start to see many of these types of solutions that we're demonstrating, a lot of this really requires careful orchestration at each of these layers to deliver a superior solution. I want to just give you a quick example in terms of to make this point. So if you start at this lower layer, some of the things that we're doing around our power technologies, around performance and scaling, we can get 4x application performance because of how we look at the stack and understand this from top to bottom. So it's some very specific things that we could do down in the semiconductor that will allow you to see better workload and application performance. At the systems infrastructure level, leveraging things like Texas Memory Systems. And this is just one example. You know, some of the things that we're doing around integration and design, we'll be able to reduce some things like file backup time. And when you start to think about this world of big data and the fact that we're dealing with a lot of data and information, things like you know, compression and dedupe and how you back up and archive will become more critical requirements. So reduction and providing more efficiencies with the technologies. Integrating OpenFlow, which is the software defined around networking, so that we can have better network recovery times. We think we will be delivering, and you can see pretty impressive numbers. At the hypervisor and operating system level, some of the things that we're doing with Flex Systems Manager, we could provision storage with this solution 98% faster. Some of the things that we're doing with the platform computing acquisition to speed up big data workloads, 6x in terms of acceleration. GPFS, the file system, you know, that's called the global parallel file system, but we call it GPFS for short. But if you think about a big data world, being able to deal with 20 petabytes of data, and if you think about a distributed infrastructure, more than 4,000, north of 4,000, you know, distributed nodes within a structure, I mean, that's just making a point in terms of the types of scalability solutions that we're building to deal with a big data world. Open APIs and orchestration, I've already touched on Easy Tier and some of the things that we're doing around Easy Optimize and OpenStack. So a lot of great things that we're doing in terms of delivering against this promise of smarter computing. And you can see investments that's targeted at real value through integration and deep optimization is our approach. To wrap up, we continue to look at this business end-to-end. You heard a lot about our patent productivity, but when you sort of look at it specifically for Systems and Technology Group, we continue to outperform others in our industry. Just this week, both Gartner and IDC reported that when you look at 2012, fourth quarter, calendar year 2012, we still remain number one in server revenues. The productivity that we're seeing and the acceptance that we're seeing for our high-end solutions, you can see this in the next 3 points. You know, when you look at our Z Enterprise, first in enterprise type clients, 181, nearly half of those coming from the growth markets. And when you sort of look at, you know, Bruno spent time in terms of what we're doing around these markets around the world, and you could just see the role that the Z Enterprise is playing in financial institutes, a lot of the Ministry of Finance in places like Africa. They're leveraging this Z platform as they build out their infrastructure. Last year, power in terms of competitive displacements, 1,200. And then Pure Systems. We continue to wrap Pure Systems. We now have well over 2,300 systems sold across 70 countries. So this is a product that, as we continue to focus on the high-value portion of our portfolio, we're seeing some results that we're pleased with. And then in terms of, I've already talked about the acquisitions, so very thoughtful in terms of how we look at these acquisitions in terms of supporting the roadmap and what we're doing around smarter computing. And then the last point, we're really leveraging our analytics capabilities throughout our end-to-end process. So we actually have well over 30 analytics projects that is optimizing our supply chain, whether it's looking at things like demand forecasting, managing critical part supply, the types of things that you need to do in terms of fulfillment and support in delivering these system solutions. So with that, I just wanted to sort of give you a flavor that our focus continues to be around technology innovations that supports our stack optimization. The last point is we are on the roadmap in delivering smarter computing solutions with the three attributes, design for big data, software-defined environment, and leveraging open opportunities. And we think that this well positions us moving forward. And what I want to do with that is I would like to invite up Robert, and he will take you through our middleware capability. So, Robert.
Okay. Thank you, Rod. Good afternoon. I'll talk a little bit about middleware and kind of what we've been doing and where we're focused and where we see the opportunity and where we're having dialogues with clients. If you look down the left-hand side, you know, we talk to clients now about capabilities, less about the brand, it's more about the capability. In fact, we delivered 400 new and enhanced products in the current middleware portfolio in 2012. We're very much focused on the four growth areas, big data, mobile, security, and cloud. If you remember last year when I was up here, I talked about security, and I talked about the acquisition we had made of Q1 Labs and the formation of a security division. Great year in 2012. We had double-digit growth. So we're very pleased with that. Rod talked a little bit about optimized workloads and how the software stack plays in that. Eric will cover cloud. So what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about big data and talk about mobile and the set of announcements we've made. First of all, if you look at the big data portfolio we have, it is pretty broad. And the problem with big data, it is a lot of hype out there, but the definition changes. Some people look at it as Hadoop. Well, Hadoop is big data. Well, we look at Hadoop as that's one small piece of a big data platform. The reason is Hadoop is great for dealing with volume. You also want to deal with variety, unstructured data, structured data. Therefore, I do want connections to my data warehouse. When I do an algorithm, I want it to go across both my quote-unquote structured data, which Hadoop does well, and the structured data, which is, you know, the traditional databases. The other thing you want to do is you want to worry about velocity, because most of the big data problems that people are solving today is data at rest. It's data I have, I go back, I analyze. Most of the problems in the future are going to be much more data in motion. So you want to deal with velocity and you want to deal with real time. Because if I can deal with real time data, I can make a real time decision. If I can make a real time decision, I can improve the processes that drive my business. And then the fourth one we're starting to worry about is veracity. What is the quality of the data? Do I really understand the pedigree of the data? Because if I'm going to make a critical business decision, it's important that I really do understand where the data's come from and whether it's quality data or not. So we have a platform approach. On top of that, we've got our analytics and decision software that Mike Roden's team deliver, and then obviously there's all of the industry solutions. And then that makes up the bigger, broader business analytics and optimization. We've had a lot of momentum here in 2012, a lot of engagements with clients, and in fact, we're starting to see some repeatable use cases, and I'll share with you that in a minute. Gartner just put big data categories. They're finally starting to look at big data in a broad set of categories, much like we are with our platform. They define 30 different categories. IBM plays in 28 of 30 of those categories. The next competitor, the red guys, are in 17 out of the 30. So we really do have a level of breadth here that's pretty broad. And we've been named a leader in the Forrester Wave, both for predictive analytics, but also for Hadoop. On top of that, we've added three new acquisitions in 2012, Vivissimo, Tealeaf, and StoredIQ. And it's really focused on helping make big data easier for the client to do exploration, to do discovery, and to do analytics. We've got the data. Now it's really building a platform that makes it easier. And we also introduced our newest member of the Pure System family, Pure Data, that we delivered in the fall and earlier this year. And that is also where we've delivered the next generation of Netezza technology. And then if you look at the use cases, they're the ones you would think. Big data exploration, when I'm really trying to get insight or visualize the data. There's I'm trying to get customer insight. I'm using it for fraud detection or security. In fact, there's more security data that comes out of our systems every day than business data. Same thing with operations. Imagine if I could capture all of that data coming out of all of the systems' operational data and apply analytics, I could really build a true smarter computing environment, and we can build the next generation of cloud. And then, of course, there's just data warehouse augmentation. I've got a lot of data, and a lot of clients are not connecting all of their data sources together. They can have hundreds of data sources, and just using big data could really help them get the level of insight in just the data they have in-house, never mind what they can get outside of their organization. Now, I'll switch over to talk about mobile. Mobile is changing, and it's starting to have an impact on the enterprise. I think everyone here understands the impact that mobile has had on all of us and all of us as consumers. But the interesting thing is you look at mobile insights. 75% of mobile shoppers take action after receiving location-based messaging. Contrast that back to the web when you did click through and you only had about 2% of people would click through a website. Now you look at mobile, that changes the game. Transacting, almost double what it was the previous year. 90% of users that are using mobile are using multiple screens. In fact, how many of you have an iPhone and you have to pinch and expand out the application? To me, that is a great example of someone who brought a web application to a mobile device and really didn't design it from kind of mobile in. And that's why we've really been focused in on what is the impact on mobile. And what you find, it's on the end user, but it's also on your processes. And here's three customers, you know, that really started to use mobile to give a better experience to their end user, but also fundamentally change their processes, and you can see the improvement, whether it's responding to RFPs, whether it's saving cost, or whether it's improving the process I have, as in the last example around patient care and patient safety. Now, when you look at what we've been doing here in mobile, we've a lot of clients. We're working through our services teams and our product teams with a lot of clients. We've had 125 new patents filed in 2012 in the area of wireless. We now have a pretty broad set of experts that can help clients. We were named a leader in mobile app design and managed services by both Forrester and Gartner. We made several very critical acquisitions. One was WorkLite to deal with building of mobile applications for multi-platform, because some of people have iPhones, Androids, Blackberries, Windows. We also extended out our device management, our endpoint management, so now I can deal with mobile devices, bring your own device, so that when you connect to my network, I can control some of the capability, things like security. Tealeaf was an interesting one. We now can do analytics on the mobile experience. We know what the end user is doing, and therefore you can design a better end user experience as well as change your processes. And then there was some technology for access protection, the access manager for the cloud and for mobile, and that was technology that we developed here in research, and now we've taken that, productized it, and brought it to the market, and we think that's a leading product. Now, when you look at all of this, what was missing is we really didn't have a point of view. We had a lot of the pieces. So what we did is we said, okay, we need a point of view or a marketecture, and we defined this thing called mobile first. And one of the reasons I like this notion of mobile first, it's not taking the enterprise and pushing it out to a mobile device and just supporting a mobile device. It's really rethinking the user experience and the processes from mobile into the enterprise. And so what we said to the clients is, look, you really need to think about the application and data services, management, security, and analytics. These are all things that an enterprise needs to worry about when it does mobile. It's very different than if I'm building Angry Birds. Guess what? I'm probably not having to worry about all of these things. So we made an announcement 2 weeks ago. We've gotten a lot of very positive feedback from the analysts, from press, but more importantly, from clients. And we also this week at Mobile World Congress announced two partnerships, one with AT&T. So I can now build a mobile application, and I can now build in the set of services that they have on their platform, things like payment, notary services. So now the programmer has a much richer set of services that they can build into the next generation of mobile apps. And we also announced a partnership with Nokia Siemens. And what effectively we've done, one of the problems that most mobile carriers have is mobile is very data intensive. And every time, if I build a mobile application that's very chatty, I have to go all the way back to the end of the chain through the backhaul. We've now taken WebSphere and the WebSphere environment and now support it out at the base station or out at the tower. So now I can build the next generation of applications without having to utilize all of that network capacity. So very interesting set of capability here that could have, you know, some pretty interesting implications. So what I'd like to do now is I want to show you just a very quick demo. And I want to show you how the world of systems of engagement are really starting to map now with systems of record. And when you do these kinds of systems, you do have to worry about security. You have to worry about access. But you know what? It's becoming much easier to do, and it's going to start to change the processes. So what I've got here is just an iPhone 5, if we put up on the screen, and it's an insurance application. I can manage all of the typical capabilities of claims and manage my account. But I want to show you an app that says, look, I've been in an accident. And out comes the thing that you notice We take all of the geolocation services and pre-populate. We know when it happened, we know the location, and we know the weather. So now I can start to gather this information and imagine the analytics that you could get if you knew all of the activity that was happening around an accident. Now you're looking here and say, okay, were there any injuries? Yes, there were some injuries. Was there more than one vehicle involved? Yes, there were two vehicles involved. You gather the data. Now, when I logged into the system and authenticated, it looked at my history and it looked at what I had in terms of the vehicles. So now you can look at it and say, well, or who was driving, but I can take a look at what vehicle was involved. In this case here, I've got three cars. And I can say, you know what, my classic Mustang, unfortunately, it was my classic Mustang that was involved in the accident. Yeah, that's too bad. I don't drive a classic Mustang. I do have a classic car. And they said, will you use it? I said, no, because I would cry when I show the next picture when it's been in an accident. And so what you want to do, you want to record damages. So now you can use a technology like the camera on a phone. So I go and I click, and now I've got a picture that I can use that shows the damage of the car. Now, how it changes the process, when you look at the damage, you know, a little bit on the hood and the bumper is indented, well, this is considered to be a low-cost damage. In the past, you would have to get an adjuster to come out and take a look at the car. Now I can take the picture, show it to the adjuster in real time, and they say, okay, it's a low cost. I don't need to see the car. Instantaneously, they say, okay, we know how to handle, so I'll use that picture. And then, you know what, I can take a picture of a driver's license. Now, when you take a picture of someone's driver's license who's been involved and you're going to store it in your content management, you have to worry about security. You have to worry about privacy because there's a lot of information on a driver's license that you wouldn't want out there. You know, so you've got to worry about the back-end access to your content management systems, to your claim systems, and the like. Now, a couple of neat things, because I've got geolocation services, you can populate the approved companies. So in the past, I got a tow truck. Are they approved? Are they not approved? Here are the list of approved. I can say, okay, you know what? I want second towing, and in fact, I know that they'll be here in 15 minutes. Same thing with a body shop. How many of you have been involved in an accident, and the adjuster has to come out and take a look at the car? That takes days. And then they say, well, here's the body shops that you can bring the car to. You've already had the car towed to another body shop. This one here says, okay, I can pick the body shop right up front. So I go to my list of approved body shop, linked back in. I can look at the one that's closest to my home. I can click on it. I can select it. And now the back-end system could send a message to the body shop to say, you know what, this claim has already been approved. Go ahead, you know, and fix the car. And then there's, witnesses. If I do witnesses, yes, witnesses. I can do testimony. Guess what? I've got... You know, I was driving along and some guy, you know, T-boned me and, you know, hurt my brand new, classic Mustang. And then, you know what, now I'm done. I can take that guy. I now have a witness account that's been digitized. And now I can put it in my content management system. I don't have to contact witnesses. Now I've got all the information that I need. And guess what? Now I can say, okay, I'm ready to submit. So when you think about the back-end process changes, I can save a lot of cost on claims processing. Imagine if I could take the time in the front end to determine the damage to the car and get approval. If I have a car rental agreement, I can take literally days of the requirement for the car rental. That's savings to the insurance company. So you see the combination of geo, location services, okay, and the use of the device and the power device like the camera and voice with the connection to the back end, and you start to see this true mobile enterprise application really starting to change the way businesses think and change the way, you know, they're going to build their next generation of processes. So I thought just a quick demo would show you some of the things. Now, underneath that, you've got security and messaging, and all of our middleware underpins all of that because that is also very critical to an enterprise. So with that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring on Mike Roden. Mike is my counterpart in software and has the responsibility for solutions.
Otherwise known as Adam number 3. So as Steve often sits us down, he sits Adam number one, Adam number two, Adam number three down, and he talks to us and he explains to us that hardware is what a computer is. Software is what a computer does. So what's a solution, right? So when we started thinking about solutions in the solutions business, we realized that it's really about capturing industry expertise and building it with hardware and software into something that's repeatable in the market and can be delivered by the expertise that Bridget and Eric's teams have. That's a solution. It's a solution that delivers an outcome for a client, because that's really what they're looking for. Consistent with what Ginny said this morning, with the 500 CEOs she talked to last year, to what Mark said this morning about the CFOs that are awash in a sea of data, and the work that we do with the industry, the Institute for Business Value and Bridget's team, we've heard some very specific themes of what our clients are looking for. They're dealing with all of this data. They're trying to turn that data into information, and from that information gain insight. Their time to deal with this, as the world continues to globalize, is getting shorter and shorter and shorter in order to maintain competitive advantage. And in order to deal with that time compression, they need to get more and more out of their people. They need to make their people more productive. They need to attach them to relevant information faster so that they can make better decisions on the time scale that's needed to continue to make them competitive in the market. Now, with all of this data, the way we've looked at this is that the data becomes the raw material. It becomes the information, right? It becomes a natural resource, if you will. You need analytics to start to interpret that data, to try to gain that insight, to become the translator. You can think of analytics almost as a universal translator for this sea of data, right? That data, as it turns into information, turns into insight, can then be woven into the processes of an organization, whether it's a government, whether it's a corporation, whether it's a small business, right? It's taking all of that information and applying it to their processes, whether it's their supply chain, whether it's their human resources groups, whether it's their sales, whether it's their financial operations. It's applying that intelligence, weaving that intelligence into the process that we believe provides the foundation for this next generation of solutions as we go forward. The approach we took to go after this was to identify a set of capabilities in five core areas. Not 20, not 30, five, right? And we started to look at it. We said, we're a $100 billion corporation. What would move the needle for a $100 billion corporation? How big does a solution business have to become? First of all, you don't build a solution business. What you do is you identify markets you want to serve and clients within that market. So we started to look at it and said that we really need to identify market sizes that are measured in tens of billions of dollars, so that as we start to take share in those markets, it can provide the growth that we're looking for, that you're looking for as investors of the company, right? Analytics is something we've been talking about a lot this morning. We've been talking about for a number of years as we've looked at this idea of business analytics and optimization, big data, smarter analytics. They're all circling around the same basic concepts. It's a large opportunity, a very large opportunity, measured in hundreds of billions of dollars in total capture, right? That's why we're very comfortable and looking at larger numbers here. Smarter commerce, it's a great example of taking intelligence, taking the big data, taking the analytics, and applying it to a set of processes. We think that's more than $130 billion opportunity. Social business, we started talking about this in the last couple of years, get a little bit more proactive about it every year as it starts to unfold. We think this is a $100 billion opportunity. That's a lot of opportunity to go after. And then smarter cities that Bruno talked about this morning, that's an emerging opportunity. It's growing very quickly. We think it's about $50 billion right now. But the observation we would make is there are a lot of cities. There are a lot of places to go with the kinds of solutions that we're building. That provides a lot of growth opportunity, a lot of upside as we look to the future. So we think we've picked four really good, big relevant, real-time, now kind of solutions. And then Watson. How do we take the technologies out of research, productize them, commercialize them, and get them into market? And that's what we've been working on over the last couple of years. So that's a set of things we're doing in the solutions business. We think it's enough. We don't need 7, 8, 9. We think there's a lot of opportunity to go after here, and we're focused in on each of these segments to build them out. And I'll talk about a couple of them quickly now. First, analytics. Jenny mentioned this. Mark talked about it. The reality is, for the last few years, we announced the roadmap. We delivered 15% growth in the first year. We delivered 16% growth in the second year. We delivered 13% growth in the third year. When you just do the math on where we started, if we hadn't taken it up, you guys would have called us on it, right? We were ahead of track, right? And that's a logical progression of the model we put in place forward to get to that $20 billion, right? This is the whole IBM picture. It's software, it's services, it's hardware, this big data problem moving forward. This morning the question was asked, is this acquired revenue or is this organic revenue or what is it, right? Yes, right? It's all of the above. It's the same model that we've been executing in 2011, in 2012, and now into 2013, right? So that model becomes the base for how this business continues to grow. Why does it continue to grow? Why does it accelerate? That's how I started, right? It's all of this data that requires interpretation. It's starting to change the dimension of how we build applications, what you've been seeing in the demos, what you've been hearing about from my colleagues. We're starting to change this very, very rapidly so that analytics is baked into everything. It becomes a bigger, bigger piece of IBM as we go forward. Right, as we start to see the commercialization of Watson, we start to see more and more about how big data affects security with our new security division. Those become part of it. We've already brought in StoredIQ and Star Analytics this year, right, as acquisitions in this space. Right, that'll continue. As we see the right acquisitions, the right companies to join the team, we'll execute on those as we go forward. Right? We look at smarter commerce. We introduced this less than 2 years ago. Right? It has been a very fast-moving, fast-growing part of our portfolio. Right? We've invested. We saw the opportunity. And what's relevant about this opportunity and why it's important is because all of this data enables companies to focus all of their processes on something they've always wanted to do, which is to identify a single unique customer and then rotate their processes around that customer, that client. So it's micro-segmentation down to an individual. When you do that, you change the way you operate. Marketers, chief marketing officers, operate differently. They think about how they reach that one person, what will change their decision-making process, how will they make the buying decision that you want them to make, right? It's a shift. It's a shift in spend. They may spend less money on advertising and TV and radio. They may spend more money on direct omni-channel, direct marketing through email, through text messaging, et cetera, right? Because they can reach the individual. Chief procurement officers are starting to look at how analytics can change the way they do spend management. VPs of customer loyalty are using analytics to understand every interaction, every touch point with their customers in order to serve them better. And we can integrate the end-to-end sales process from the customer experience all the way through the logistics management system and all the processes associated with it, instrument that with analytics, use the analytics to actually change the way marketing works. It's a nice cycle. It all comes together. We've supported this with a series of acquisitions. We've talked about the acquisitions in the past. Last year, we completed the acquisitions of mTORIS for the chief procurement officer in spend management. We added Demandtech to the capabilities that we have to deal with pricing optimization, dynamic pricing, assortment planning for marketers. Right? We added Tea Leaf. Tea Leaf's been talked about a lot. It's a great acquisition. It's a great set of technology, from mobile to big data analytics. What it really provides is a qualitative view of what your customer is doing at every touch point. that augments the quantitative capabilities we had with previous acquisitions. And what our research teams are now trying to do is figure out, if you have both qualitative information and quantitative information, what new types of insights and algorithms can get created. Great set of capabilities. We've created a very large consulting capability around it, and Bridget will talk more about that in a few minutes. All of this capability for Smarter Commerce, or most of it, is available in the cloud. Over 60,000 users in the cloud using our digital marketing tools, 4.5 million daily transactions across our B2B cloud, 50-plus Smarter Commerce software as a service applications, 300,000 global trading entities connected to IBM clients, 180 million client transaction events across the infrastructure every year. It's a pretty big cloud, right? We've been putting this together through these acquisitions with Eric's team to build out the infrastructure to support this kind of a transactional B2B kind of environment, right? We start looking at things like Conexa and some of the other capabilities, the number of software as a service applications continues to expand almost 100. So what about people? We talked about the needs to get more productivity out of people, right? Social business is about the intersection point of social networking technologies with business process. It is not about picking your business up and putting it on top of Facebook, right? It's about taking the concepts, the ability to link people together to help them communicate, to flatten organizations, and put them together in a way that can start to fundamentally change the business processes themselves, right? When you do that and you bring all those people together, you have to recognize that decisions that are made in a social network that's deployed inside an organization are still decisions. They're business decisions, and in many industries, they're regulated. You have to save them. You have to store them. Social content becomes an important aspect of a social business platform. Social business platforms create lots of new data sources. They need to be instrumented. You need analytics to understand what's going on inside that social business platform. This becomes the foundation for a whole new set of application spaces for us to transform the industries as we go forward. One of these is something we call Smarter Workforce. It was talked about this morning a little bit. Smarter Workforce is, how do you take that social infrastructure that connects all of your people together, that gives you a very real-time view of the expertise of your organization, how do you use those analytics to tell you what expertise you have, where it resides, and how do you apply it to the problem that you need to solve? And more importantly, how do you retain that expertise as you go forward? And when you don't have the expertise you need, how do you recruit it? Where do you get it? Where do you source the people that you need? Right? How do you train the people you have? How do you empower them to be more productive as we go forward? And how do you manage them? How do you measure them as they engage and perform across the various work we're doing? That's what Smarter Workforce is all about. It's the intersection point between the acquisition of Conexa with our social business platform, with the analytics that we've been talking about. Much the same way we did Smarter Commerce, social business now becomes a new platform for new solution domains as we go forward. And finally, Watson. Katie asked the question at lunch, how do we move research technologies to product technologies at scale, and how fast can you do them? I think Watson's a great example of this. John's team and my team have been working together to quickly transition the technology out of research into development, to harden it, to make it scalable, to make it so that it's no longer just for game shows, right? So that we can deal with the problems of medical science, so we can start to think about how we go forward with new high-value solution spaces. Those take a while to develop. The second thing we want to do is move the technology into high-volume spaces. We've started to look at the idea of client engagement system, client engagement advisors. Think of this as a transformed next-generation contact center, moving away from telephones and IVRs to systems that can understand natural language and that can have a conversation with you. Could be as profound as the advent of the ATM machine was to branch banking, right? As it first moved outside the front door of the branch and then went mobile. We'll be able to access the information and take it forward. And we started to look how to embed cognitive capabilities into the other solutions we've talked about, getting leverage, right? Imagine, if you will, a career advisor that integrates into a talent management system in a social business platform that helps an employee guide their career from the day they're hired to to the day they become CEO. Right? The manager that sticks with them all the way through their career. Interesting concept. It's stuff we're working on in the development labs today. So when we look at this, we've got the foundation. We understand the smarter computing platform necessary to build these solutions. We have the industry-leading middleware platforms in order to construct what the computer does. And we've now got the industry expertise embedded into a set of solutions that enable us to focus on delivering the $18 billion that we've committed to you, our investors.